Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studio of eloquentonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. Not sure where Dr. Troy is. He is on one of his famous cruises with his big family out there having a good time. He'll be back next week. And speaking of next week, we have a great guest. We're trying to get to all 50 states this year. Well, we're going to get Georgia checked off with the CEO of the Georgia Credit Union Affiliates. Mr. Mike Mercer is going to join us to talk about how Georgia Credit Unions did to close out the year that was 2015 and all the big plans. Georgia, great, great bellwether state. Georgia, Ohio, of course, my state, the great state of Texas, great, great places to look at and evaluate where trends are and things like that. The name of the show, The Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Target didn't really do anything to leave me not wanting more. Amazon just came up with a more convenient way to get it. Was talking with our guest today in the pre-show. Sometimes I wish we could broadcast the pre-show, but we can't. Well, we could, but we don't. We're speaking with Ann Legg today, and I was telling her, look, it didn't happen over 5 or 6 years. It just seemed like one day I was going to Target 3 or 4 times a week, and then I wasn't, because Amazon could bring everything right downstairs to the front door. So we're going to be talking about that today. For the record, I think we spend way too much time talking about social media and Generation Y and what's the difference between a bank and a credit union, and not enough talking about the data. Your members are out there today using their debit cards. They're checking on their mobile apps. They are leaving behind digital footprints that if you learn how to follow and learn how to track and learn how to leverage, you'll leave your audience wanting more. Speaking of leaving their audience wanting more, Express Data Incorporated, also out in California, they're our sponsor. Check them out. We're getting close, folks. Next week, April 15th, tax day. You know it's a big deal. There is a tax season. Express Tax from XDI, X-Ray Delta, India.com. Go check them out. And folks, it's April here in Texas. I know it's cold in some parts of the states and the country, but this past weekend, $10,000 raised for the Alzheimer's Association here in New Braunfels. And what was the draw? A chili cook-off, a chili challenge. Check out the video. It's right there in the episode page, the XDI Chili Challenge. Raise money for charity. Meet other credit union folks from all over the country. Have a great time. Enjoy some great chili. Love our sponsor, XDI.com. Hey, folks, when we get back from the break, look, you know you've heard the term big data. I've heard it too. We even did a show called Big Data, but the learning curve on that one for me is ongoing. So we've got an expert in that today. Ann Legg's going to join us. She's going to tell us about her new startup, Thrive, and we're going to talk to her right after this.
You think you got the best of me, think you've had the last laugh, bet you think that everything good is gone, think you left me broken down, think that I'll come running back, baby you don't know me cause you're dead wrong, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
That is right, the pride of North Texas. Sorry, folks, the best female artist of the 2000s. I know Katy Perry's great, too. But, hey, her name is Ann Legg. Hey, Ann, how are you?
Good. Now, was that Kelly Clarkson?
It was Kelly Clarkson.
And was that a tip-off to your 15 years of that fabulous show?
I got to say, I came to that show very late, but I was in a hotel room one night in Detroit and watched one of them sing the cover of The Lion King, Circle of Life, And I was like, wow, that was really cool. And that's when I started, that's when I started watching. But yes, I was thinking about the end of American Idol, and Troy loves Kelly Clarkson. I do too. My guilty pleasure is Katy Perry, but I do love Kelly Clarkson. She's a Texan. Hey, but listen, we're talking about you today. Tell us about you and why you started Thrive.
Well, I have spent the majority of my professional career in credit unions, and I absolutely love them. One of the things that I think is just fascinating about credit unions is they're a financial cooperative. Okay, so we all think about cooperatives. We think about that's a good, beautiful thing. But a financial cooperative, what exactly does that mean? Well, they're actually founded on – this is just amazing, and I love sharing this. Credit unions are founded on 7 cooperative principles. Were you aware of that?
Oh, yeah. We just – what I always tell people, though, is – you know, if you went out to a big credit union today and asked the members that were coming and going what they were, they wouldn't know.
Well, exactly. And it's just fascinating when you look at what the core of a credit union is. And those principles, if I may take a moment just to voice them, they are voluntary membership, democratic member control, members' economic participation, autonomy and independence, education, training, and information. And then these last two I just love. Cooperation among cooperatives and concern for community. I just can't think of a better organization, way that I'd want my money to be spent, and I can't think of a better industry. So as I was looking at that, I said, wow, you know, how can I use my talents to help this industry move along? And like I said, spending the majority of my career in this space, I said, well, you know, I've got a lot of talents. I really love the innovation, problem solving. I love putting together the strategic vision and the visioning to help credit unions move forward and achieve goals. And most importantly, I absolutely have passion around looking at the data, translating really the big data and the big data insights into strategies to help credit unions grow. And that is the foundation of why Thrive was created.
Very, very cool. You know, you mentioned it. I wrote that, you know, Dr. Troy calls these quote keepers. And what we usually do is we tweet them later in the day with a link to the show. I love what you said. You said, I've got a lot of talents. I got to tell you, I love it when people are confident about their abilities. I really do. I wish more people were. When I tell people that there were 4 other credit union shows when we started broadcasting, and that there aren't any but ours now. And I tell people, and the reason that is because ours was a better show. There's always that percentage of people that say, well, that's not very nice. Well, it may not be nice, but it is incontrovertibly true. There's not another single online show that's still broadcasting. Here we are 7 years later. So that's great. You said, I've got a lot of talent, and I think a lot of credit unions need your talent right now, because there was something you have on your website, beautiful website, by the way. I saw it both on my MacBook Air, the iPad test. I always check websites with my iPad and the phone test, although I don't do a lot of searching on the phone because it's just the screen is too small for a guy that grew up with, you know, like a regular televisions and stuff like that. But you say big data is the black gold of the modern day. And I thought that was really,
absolutely,
really spot on. Tell us why.
Well, when you think about black gold, and of course we're talking about oil here, when you look back on what that was and what did that really do for our world, well, you know, black gold was an incredible, you know, oil specifically was an incredible transformer to our society. When you think back, before there was oil, we had horses. Horses is how we, you know, transported our goods and our products and ourselves. When you look post when oil was created, what did you have? You had rockets. So big data is very similar in that way, is that it provides insights that change the way that we work, the way we play, the way we exist. It's changing education, retail, healthcare. It's how we look. It's how we purchase.
Yep.
It's how we evolve. So it's going to be a game changer, and it is a game changer.
I totally agree. Speaking of which, folks, if you have to go out and get gas today, I don't as often. I don't as often because, like I said, Amazon brings me pretty much everything I need. But when you pay for gas at the pump, it's based upon something called the Texas Sweet Crude Oil price. So yes, I think that's one of the reasons it got my attention. I'm one of those Texans, Anne, who think Texas is the greatest everything. So I was like, yes, black gold, Texas tea, Beverly Hillbillies intro. All the millennials
exactly.
Just went, who are the Beverly Hillbillies? Not the movie, the show. Let me ask you this though. Are credit unions that have access to data? Speaking of tea, sweet tea is a staple of the Texas diet. We eat it. We drink it with everything, and I enjoy it. I don't drink anything much more than water and coffee. I don't drink sodas and stuff like that. But the tea is a big deal. I went out one day and bought sweet tea at the grocery store. It already comes in the little bottle. You take it home and serve it over ice or whatever. And the next time I listened back to one of our shows, the banner advertisement was for Peak Sweet Tea, the very one that I had bought. And it was, print out a coupon. And how many credit unions really understand how to take a transaction that a member makes, whether it's in person, on the phone, or online, and use it to improve their bottom line? Is that what you're going to help them figure out?
Well, Edie, I think to the many different kind of points you put out there, and let's see if I can answer all of them. And the first question is about what are credit unions doing to kind of harness the data that they have. Credit unions clearly sit on an incredible, robust source of data, and many sources actually of data. Of course, the primary source of data that they have is what's in their core processor. And you just hit upon it, which is, the transaction data and bringing in the right business strategy insights from that. Yes, I do think that they're moving forward in understanding how to leverage that. I'd like to see them take that and also add on all the ancillary data. Specifically, how do you connect up what's being purchased on, your credit card or your debit card? What's also going out there in maybe the census data or even the demographic psychographic data? Who are these members and these potential members that you have, and how can you identify your relationship to them and make it even better? Yeah. And I think that's where I can enter into that space and really help them pull those insights out and help them build strategies to do that better.
Awesome. Well, listen, we're going to keep talking about it. Her name is Anne Legg. You can find her on Twitter. She's everywhere. You can find her on LinkedIn. Thrive Strategic Services. They're going to try to help credit unions figure out where they need to go generationally using all that big data. She's going to take all of her years of experience, and she's building this new brand, and I think she's going to do really, really well. I love talking about this big data stuff. It's really not my sweet spot. It's not – my stuff is generational and creative and things like that, but I know that especially, I'm not trying to eliminate the smaller credit unions, but some of these bigger credit unions and mid-sized credit unions have tremendous amounts of information on their members. I'm not sure they're leveraging them as well as they could. Hey, we'll keep talking about it. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. That is right. Sometimes you guys call into those conference calls and webinars. The on-hold music is so terrible. It is so bad. On this show, you get to hear great, great bumper music. Hey, her name is Anne Legg. We're talking about big data, how credit unions can use it to stay in business forever. I think it's great that someone can start a creative idea and create a brand and create a website, and they don't need 40,000 people working for them. But where do you want Thrive to be this time next year?
I really want to help the way credit unions are moving from this kind of a survive position to thrive. Mm. And I hope that will lift off and that will continue and that I will be able to look back and say that this has been a point in the map where people and credit unions have benefited.
Yep. You get your second quote keeper right there, from survive to thrive. You know, here we are broadcasting online via the Blue Snowball microphone into the Microsoft Air, into the internet, however it works. I still don't know, but I keep my notes with a good old-fashioned number two pencil and my little trusty 3x5 card here. Great, 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 great point, from survive to thrive. I like that. I like that. I wanted to ask you, because we talked about it a little bit in the pre-show, my good buddy Jay Kassing, that you know, used an mm-hmm. example with Amazon. He said, you know, when you go to Amazon and you're, in my case, if I'm purchasing ammo, or no, I'm just kidding, if I'm purchasing, you know, whatever it is, it'll always say at the bottom or along the side, people also searched for this. Mm-hmm. And so he said, you know, ask her, does that have a place at credit unions? And my question to you is, I don't know, because my interaction with my bank here in Texas is so limited. I pick up my phone every morning. I use my mobile app. I punch in my 4-digit PIN. Everything's good to go. Mm-hmm. The Ukrainians didn't steal all my money last night while I was sleeping. We're still in business, whatever. And that's it. I really don't think about them again until the very next morning. But mm-hmm. my guess is there's got to be a way to take some of that habit of me checking once a day and connecting with me differently. And it sounds like that's what you're talking about. You're going to show credit unions how to use the behavior of the members to better interact mm-hmm. with them on a marketing level.
Well, absolutely. When you think about what Amazon does, the specific tool that they're using is obviously a recommendation engine, and that is built off of algorithms on past purchases and all the purchase decision right. of that said product. So it's a beautiful it's the way that math is beautiful for all of those who may not find math beautiful.
I don't. You know. I'm terrible at it. But you're right. You're right, by the way.
Yeah.
You're right, by the way.
So it makes it so when you're looking at an Amazon product, it is incredible that they can do that. But of course, these types of algorithms really base themselves off of prediction. And for example, a similar algorithm, of course, exists when you have Netflix and you're trying to determine what movies am I going to like next.
Yeah,
they're using
exactly.
the same type of thing. So when you think about this in the credit union space now, clearly, credit union products and services are not going to be as dynamic as something like a Netflix or something as, you know, the incredible amount of products and services that are available on Amazon. However, there is an incredible point of prediction. You know, think of it this way. What if you could know what your credit union members need next? And specifically, what do they eat? What do they read? What is their next need? And if you could fulfill that need, what would you do differently? All of that data is right there, and yeah. taking the analytics, adding the beautiful math, creating the prediction, you can get them to them. So the relationship isn't one of me checking my data, per se, or my balances, but how can my credit union, which loves to serve me, and that's its complete goal, can help me make my financial dreams come true? Some of those things I may not even know. Mm. For example, what about if I showed indications that I'm going to purchase a home? What if I started getting Ooh. Messaging and tools?
So
if you're
Ann Legg on Facebook and you click on a Zillow ad or whatever the one is for real estate, I haven't had to buy a home in a long time, but then the credit union knows, because you also like them on Facebook, that hey, maybe Miss Legg is in the home for a mortgage loan. I get what you're saying. No, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I said, this is not my strength. That's why I wanted to have you on the show.
So it's actually even so.
But does that technology
more
exist for a mid-sized credit union?
Absolutely.
It does. Okay.
Predictive analytics.
Predictive analytics.
Absolutely.
That I've heard of. The recommendation engine was the phrase I couldn't come up with when I was trying to talk about it in the pre-show. So this has all been really, really fascinating. It sounds like what you're saying is you saw a need. And credit unions are out there. They're getting all kinds of great data. Their members are telling them where they're going to have lunch. It's Friday afternoon. A lot of people go out on Friday afternoon. They have lunch. They go out to dinner tonight. Maybe they've got volleyball tournaments this weekend, so they're traveling. They're downloading stuff on iTunes and Netflix and everywhere else. And credit unions, you're saying, have access to that information. They just may not be using it as well as they could with what you call the beautiful math.
Exactly, the beautiful math. And here's a good example, and this is one that you'll hear in any big data conference and big data if you start looking around it. And this, it goes back to your friends at Target. Target started doing exactly the recommendation engine and the prediction. If you purchase this, you're most likely, due to beautiful math, to purchase that. So they started doing that, obviously, quite appropriately, because they're looking at what are the big triggers in a life that are going to make you purchase different things. Well, a good one is going to be if you find yourself pregnant. You're going to purchase different things than when you were non-pregnant. So the famous story that is out there is Target put together these beautiful recommendation engines and realized that if somebody made a purchase of one item, that they were probably going to purchase many others that showed that there's a tendency for pregnancy. That doesn't mean that they know what's going on in that person's health or there's any healthcare information whatsoever, but the detail work is so well done and that beautiful algorithm is so precise. Oh. Have you heard of what I'm about to say?
Well, I don't know exactly, but I agree with you, and that's why I believe one day at Target, what you won't see, because I won't be there, and maybe you won't be there, are Uber drivers collecting things for people and then making 15 or 16 deliveries all afternoon. So Mrs. Soccer Mom, Mr. Stay-at-Home Dad, who wants to not go out, has all of the normal things delivered. I mean, I can think of right off the top of my head five or six things that I get almost every single time I go to the grocery store. And that's where I think it's going. I think one day all the people in the aisles at Target are going to be just collecting provisioning agents, if you will. And I'm not saying that's going to happen next year or anything like that, but no.
Well, actually, it already is happening. They're called concierge apps. And
sure
you can actually do this in many large markets where there's a huge propensity for demand. And you can get somebody to run out and get your cat food, feed your cat, take your cat for a walk if necessarily, get your dry cleaning, bring in the spa treatment if you want it, and, of course, you know, pick up your dry cleaning. So that all exists right now. The Target example was a young lady who was under 18, a teenage woman, had been shopping at Target, and all of a sudden in the mail, they received all of these wonderful coupons for baby products. And the father of his daughter said, "What is going on?" Marched right up to the Target conversation with the manager and said, "Why are you sending my daughter these solicitations and offerings?" And they said, "Well, according to our records, she's got a purchase behavior that she's pregnant." And they said, "No, she's not. Please." Went home, addressed this conversation with his daughter, and unfortunately, that's how he found out that his daughter was pregnant.
Oh, well, I guess it worked. So
this,
Target was right.
It does work. Exactly. So
I thought that was going someplace else. Okay, yeah. Wow, that's good.
So you think about this, and you take that example, and you look at credit unions.
Yep.
Yes, you can look at from what's the purchase, what's the purchasing that's happening, what's their behavior with their money, what is that they need next. And
very
then, of course, that leads you to that wonderful conversation of what can you provide for them.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, listen, we've got about 6 minutes left on the show. Can you hang on just one more minute?
Of course.
Okay, hold on a second, folks. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Great, great, great conversation.
A lot of credit unions are here, but if you're not here, you're not participating in something that credit unions ought to be here doing. We're raising money for charity. We're having fun. Spending time together, and we're making some great shows.
That is absolutely right. Hey, folks, you heard her talk about it, the beautiful math. Do the math. Check the last few pictures you saw from credit union conferences with the empty ballroom and the PowerPoint. And then look at the video of the XDI Chili Challenge. It's right there in the episode page. There is absolutely no comparison. There is no equivalent. Check it out, XDI.com, Chili Challenge. Awesome, awesome thing. Get to go to Southern California, beautiful part of California, when it's hot everywhere else. So check that out. Hey, Ann, we've got about 5 minutes left. I had to jump back. The two things you said, because I really do want to get your opinion on this before we tell folks how to get a hold of you and some of the things you enjoy doing when you're not working. You started the conversation by talking about the seven cooperative principles.
Mm-hmm.
I have been on the record on this show for 7 years, by the way, beautiful math, that I don't think the members care. I really don't think they care. And after zillions of years in the credit union marketplace, if they didn't care by now, they're not going to. Now, I think if credit unions can convert that cooperative model to lower rates, to better service, to more personal service, then so be it. But I don't think the average and the most exceptional member going into a credit union this afternoon, as thousands will, by the way, here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, that not a single one of them is going to ask, hey, what are those seven cooperative principles? Am I wrong?
Yes, as a matter of fact, you are.
Troy would love that answer. Dr. Troy would love that answer. You know, he's gonna make me put together a bump with that one. He's gonna want to keep that one forever. Trust me.
Here's a couple of things. You are correct in the point that if you walked in right now into a credit union branch
wrong.
And you said, just let me finish, and said, okay, anybody here can recite the seven cooperative principles. You're right. I don't think anybody can recite that. The question, though, is I don't think anybody cares or that's a value. The average age of a credit union member right now is around 47 years old. Now, if you go into a branch, it's probably going to be older because a branch member is going to be somebody who may not be using the tech space. So if you walked in, why is somebody in that branch? They are in that branch because that person that they're relating to cares. Why do they care? Because they've got concern for community, because they really want to make the members' life better. That is the difference, the credit union difference, because
they're
doing it.
We're going to disagree on that one because I don't think they do
okay.
care, honestly. I think when somebody walks in.
Let's go to the second point.
Go ahead.
The data that's behind that is something that's called the Net Promoter Score. And that is if it's a combination of way of tracking both your member satisfaction, your member loyalty. Credit unions by far, compared to banks, have over a 30-point increase over their NPS scores when you look at the two industries comparatively. So somewhere along the line, somebody's happier and loyal, and those, of course, are emotional points, and those are points that are brought back to service. There's something that's going on there that I'd like to draw a dot to that says are the seven cooperative principles. But let's go to another data set. I'm now a millennial. I am now somebody who is loan worthy, loan demand, and I am somebody who's perfect for a credit union. I feel very strongly, and the data proves this, about who I choose to have my relationships with. I'm a choosy consumer. I'm a choosy purchaser. And I want to make sure I feel good about who I have my money with. They want to be part of a cooperative experience that has been proven.
We'll keep talking about it. Like I said, I'm not stubborn. I am stubborn, but anyway, I think when you find people in a branch, and like I said, when I drive by Randolph Brooks Federal Credit Union, or as my mom has called it for two generations now, her bank, Randolph Brooks Federal Credit Union today, when I go grab lunch, which I only do on Friday, it's going to be packed with people. And I think majority of them are there because they need a title for a car or whatever. Anyway, we can have that conversation another time. Your thing is going to be about using that data while they're at the branch to the advantage. Hey, folks, we only got 90 seconds before we get out of here. And I know folks can find you on LinkedIn and Twitter, and the website is right there in the episode page. But when you're not working, what are some of the things you enjoy doing?
I love my family. I'm absolutely a family fan. I love to spend as much time as I can. I have a fantastic 14-year-old daughter who's hilarious and witty. And when we can, we get out, we hike, we bike. And one of the things that I do is I participate in triathlons. So I do a lot of swimming, biking, and running.
Awesome. Y'all, I'm right with you on that. Hey, folks, her name is Ann Legg. We'll probably have to get her back because there's still five or six questions I didn't get a chance to ask you. But, hey, we have a show every Friday, so it's no big deal. Hey, don't forget, big shout-out to my buddy Allie Jackson at the Georgia Credit Union Affiliates. Got this set up for next week. Get Georgia checked off the 50 states this year. Mike Mercer, their CEO, is going to join us, but from California. Her name is Ann Legg. Ann, thank you so very, very much for everything.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome, Ann Legg. Right. Great, great answer. Hey, folks, you're going to lose the feed in 15 seconds. I know some of you are thinking, see, the seven cooperative principles matter, Jason. We will have that debate. I'm not sure I'm going to ever agree with you on that one, but hey, that's why we have the show. It's free country. You can come on and talk about whatever you want. Agreeing with Dr. Troy and I has never been a condition of being a guest on this show and never will be. You've been listening to The Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand, Thrive, Eloquent Online, South Carolina Federal Credit Union, XDI.com, Target, Amazon, if your brand were a band, would you lead the audience wanting more? We need to get one of those recommendation engines so people can recommend listening to the show. Hey, folks, my name is Jason Dias. Until next we speak, I'll talk to you all next week. Bye.
The end of the MFR, folks.